Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mehler here. You know, on Wednesdays, we often deal, well, we always deal with environmental issues. They're kind of at the top of our minds. And we hear from many people from the Department of Natural Resources. You just heard from one, as we from Heather, as we talked with her about bats. But today, we're also grateful to have a visit from the agency's new secretary, Secretary Adam Payne, our guest today. Before he was appointed to the DNR, Secretary Payne served as the county administrator for Sheboygan County for a couple of decades. And as we talk with him, I know we want to deal with PFAS. I know we want to deal with the wolf management plan. We can talk about state parks. And certainly, you're invited to join in, too, as we move along today. The number to call is 800-642-1234. You can email us to ideas@wpr.org. Secretary Adam Payne, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Larry. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
You know, I've talked with many of the secretaries over the years. I'm thinking back to Buzz Bazadny and Daryl Bazell and George Meyer, Kathy Stepp, Tony Evers even. So I go back a long way, and I think every one of them went fishing on opening day of the season, and I bet you, and you did as well.
I did as well. I had the opportunity to join the governor up in Phillips for the governor's fishing opener, and it was, again, a first and fantastic. The Phillips area really warmly received us. I think there were well over 200 people at the banquet that evening, and just a wonderful evening with the governors, legislators, so many people that care about natural resources. But the best part was, I think, in the 50-some years that they've had this governor's fishing opener, the word was, I can't confirm this, but the word at our table was there had never been a governor who had caught a legal walleye. And Governor Evers, the next morning, landed a 23-inch walleye. So I was so pleased for him and pleased for everyone involved. It was wonderful.
Well, in Phillips, the Solberg Lake near in the Phillips area, I caught the first legal muskie I ever caught in my life. I was a pretty young guy back then. So I have a lot of fond memories. Did some deer hunting in that area, too, for quite a while. So I have fond memories of that area. And maybe tell us a little bit more about your background. So you fished, involved in hunting, I think you were, at least, at
yes,
one point.
Yes, I share your love for the outdoors, passion for that. I grew up on the Wisconsin River in Stevens Point. My dad's a retired wildlife professor. My mother's a retired school teacher. But they really always involved us in outdoors, whether it was hunting, fishing, tramping, camping, hiking, cross-country skiing, you name it. We spent time in the outdoors, so really learned a lot about those values from my parents, and have spent a good part of my career working in the area of natural resource protection and enhancement. My high school sweetheart and I graduated from UW-Madison back in 1990. My first job was working for the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection in the Farmland Preservation Program. Oh. After that, I was executive director of the Wisconsin Land and Water Conservation Association. So I got to work with all these really passionate, thoughtful people who cared about protecting and enhancing our natural resources. And then, as you mentioned, Larry, spent the last 24 years as the county administrator in Sheboygan County and worked with a lot of good people in collaboration to problem solve and help make good things happen.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly, I mean, you've been on the job like 4 months. I'm sure it's like a whirlwind of activities. I know there's a lot on your plate right off the bat.
Yeah, you know, the first thing you want to do, of course, is get to know your team and get to know the many stakeholders. And I have been so impressed with the team at the Department of Natural Resources. People are so qualified, so passionate, very, very dedicated. And no worries with the team at the DNR. And then you get to know all these stakeholders, all these hook and bullet organizations, all these environmental organizations, and really good people that care about our environment, care about our state. And then, of course, I've been meeting with a number of legislators, particularly in the Senate, and really have been grateful for their time and how much they care about the state and the good things that they want to see happen. So So far, my impressions have been nothing but positive when it comes to meeting people and how much they care about the state and care about natural resources.
Certainly, one of the big concerns in the state for a lot of people has to do with PFAS. And how much does the DNR have a handle on the amount of contaminations in drinking water?
Now, this is a growing concern. PFAS is a growing concern. It's definitely an important topic to the governor. And we've really made good progress, but we have so much ahead of us. This is a forever chemical. It comes from manufacturers who are processing and making rain gear. So when we're out there fishing, we're literally wearing gear that PFAS is a part of. It comes from fast food wrappers and the eggs you cook on Teflon. It's been in our environment and our manufacturing processes for decades. And sadly, it's now getting into our drinking water and our surface water, and studies have shown that it can cause cancer. It's dangerous. And so anytime you get any pollutant in your water, you want to do something about it. You want to problem solve. And I'm so grateful we have a governor similar to some of the individuals you've mentioned, but Governor Tony Earl obviously was an advocate for natural resources. You talk about Gaylord Nelson. There are so many people that have done good things along the way, and fortunately, our governor cares about water quality. He made it a priority, and he made some key proposals in his proposed budget to continue the good work to fight PFAS. And this is the bottom line. Whoever you are in the state of Wisconsin, you should be able to turn on your tap and not worry about what you're drinking. You should have clean water. And unfortunately, PFAS is getting into more private wells. It's getting into more municipal wells. And when someone contacts the Department of Natural Resources and says, we just learned we have PFAS, we just learned we have that pollutant in our water, or nitrates, or whatever it may be, I want to make sure, the governor wants to make sure, our legislators, I believe, want to make sure that when that phone call comes in, we're not saying, well, thanks for calling, we'll get back to you. We're responding with, I'm so sorry this is happening. Here's what we will do to help you. This is what we will do to solve this problem. Mm-hmm. Because as you know, Larry, water quality should not be partisan. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to taking care of our residents, their health, their safety, mm-hmm. as well as just our natural resources, people who want to fish and get out on open water and know that they're fishing in a safe environment, we have to make investments to address this problem. So I'm encouraged with the collaboration we're seeing, the discussions that are going on in the legislature, and again, thankful for the governor and others' leadership in this area.
And is the DNR the primary or the principal leader or overseer of the water and the PFAS?
Yes. Although we're the primary overseer when it comes to protecting our natural resources and helping people problem solve, but this is going to take tremendous collaboration. Local units of government are right in the front lines, our planning, land and water conservation departments, our zoning offices, but municipal government and the municipal wells that people rely on for safe water, they're right in the front lines. And what happens is a manufacturer will release PFAS, it will go to a municipal well, and then that community potentially could be drinking polluted or unsafe water. So we need to work with all of those municipalities and make sure that if PFAS or other pollutants enter their municipal water system, that we can provide them with the tools, the resources they need to problem solve. And that might mean more rigorous or extensive systems in place to be able to pull this out of the water. So the good news is, when it comes to municipalities, we can problem solve and we will problem solve, but it's going to take resources. It's going to take all of us pulling together. Larry, one of the areas that really concerns me is about a third of our residents in the state rely on private wells, and they don't get their water tested every year, and they don't have people monitoring that daily like we have with municipal systems. And back to my comment earlier, if a mother calls and says, I just learned I have PFAS in my private well, they're scared. Can I make baby formula safely? Can my children drink this water? Can my dog and cats drink this water? We get those types of concerns. And when people call, we have to be poised and prepared to respond and help these people in need. And that means testing, monitoring, and problem solving, which might be drilling a deeper well, putting in a filtration system, or working more with local units of government to have more municipal or public water opportunities.
I'm sure we have a few thousands of people listening who are on private wells. Is the department recommending yearly treating or testing of the water?
Testing of your water is always a good idea. And I think if you ask most of your friends that are on private wells, and I am on a private well, guilty as charged. We don't get our water tested every year. I think for many people, it's out of sight, out of mind. And some people don't even recognize that, geez, that water may have been tested when I first moved into the home or built that home, but hasn't been since. So yes, the Department of Natural Resources, as well as UW Extension and other organizations, encourage people to get their water tested. And that goes back to that collaboration that you mentioned. We have to work in collaboration with local units of government, with the UW Extension, who has programs where they go out and facilitate and encourage people to get their water tested. And then we work with the university system. UW-Stevens Point does a lot of water testing, as do the public and private sector. We need to work in collaboration to tackle this, and we will.
Adam Payne, our guest today, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. You can join in with your questions or comments at 800-642-1234. Email to ideas at WPR.org. We're going to take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with Secretary Payne. I'm Larry Mueller. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about current issues in environmental protection and natural resource management with our guest today, DNR Secretary Adam Payne, who's appointed by Governor Evers this year. And as we talk with him, I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments. We've talked about PFAS. I want to also talk about other issues as well, state parks and certainly the wolf management plan. Looking forward to what you have to say at 800-642-1234, email to ideas at WPR.org. Ron in Wolf River has been waiting quite a while, so let's go there. Ron, hi, thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to talk about the Wolf River Forest. This is supported by a dozen units of government throughout the first 100 miles of the Wolf River, all the way from Shepke to Shawnee, including the Chippewa and Menominee Indian tribes. Now, we just heard that Canada's Greenlight Metals got approved by the DNR to start developing strip mining in the Shawamakon-Nicolet National Forest. Greenlight also owns mineral deposits in the headwaters of the Wolf River and plans to explore there. The Joint Finance Committee rejected funding for the Pelican River Forest, but did so 6 months after they were required to act on the project. The DNR has the authority to fund the project, and we would like to know if the DNR will be supporting the Pelican River Forest. Will the DNR allocate funding for the project? Thank you.
Sure. All right, thanks for calling, Ron.
Yeah, thank you for the question, Ron. And there's a lot of support for the Pelican River and that conservation easement and that purchase. And as you know, the Department of Natural Resources does support that. In fact, the Natural Resources Board over 6 months ago unanimously approved that project and that purchase and forwarded that on to the Joint Finance Committee. So the support is still there. It's still there amongst DNR staff. It's still there amongst our Natural Resources Board. And as you heard from the Joint Finance Committee action, they wanted us to reset and revisit it and reach out to some of the local, to all of the local units of government involved and make sure that we fully had consensus and collaboration. So personally, as a new DNR secretary, I wasn't here at the beginning of this, but I sure appreciate all the work that's gone into it, all the environmental organizations, local units of government, everyone involved that's pulled together for this. I do think it's a very important conservation opportunity, legacy opportunity for our state, and I remain optimistic. We are in discussions with local officials now, and as you mentioned, I think there's about 15 local units of government governments involved, county, towns, and about a dozen of them are in support. But there are a few that have some questions, some concerns, and that's their right. That's prerogative, and we want to make sure we work closely with them, talk that through, work that out, and then regroup. So I remain optimistic that we will see this proposal back, and maybe in a little different form, but I'm optimistic.
So it's not dead in the water.
It's not dead in the water. Not at all.
All right. Ron, there you go. Thank you for calling. Tyrone in Milwaukee, we'll go to you next. Hi, Tyrone.
Good afternoon, Larry, my friend. How are you, man?
Doing great. What's on your mind, Tyrone?
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Good afternoon to you and all the listeners that's in the sound of my voice there. Good afternoon, Adam. Great call before me. Great call, Ron, and great answer, Adam. That beautiful call, yeah, and great answer. I'll tell you, and good afternoon, Milwaukee. I was curious because may not stack up to what Ron had to say there, but I know that I'm a love scientist. I know you can't boil lead out of water, maybe a little bit off base, but I'm on third base trying to steal home here. So we're being sold all this bottled water. I wonder who's regulating that, who's monitoring it, if we're being sold a bill of BS just for the money, or what is their purifying process to let us know that it's as pure as possibly can be, even though I know you can't boil lead out of water. What's going on with that, or are we just being taken for the money?
Thank you very much for calling.
Yeah, that's a good question, and I think a question more and more people are going to ask when they learn more about PFAS and other pollutants that get into water, because obviously bottled water is taken from municipal wells or some other source, and you want to make sure that's safe. To be completely honest with you, in the 4 months that I've been the DNR secretary now, I have not drilled into the details of this, so I do not have an answer for you. I'm not certain how that is monitored or what those standards are. I presume there's very high standards with bottled water, but I'm not in position to respond to that question specifically. However, we certainly have people at the Department of Natural Resources that can, so don't hesitate to reach out to us at the DNR, and we'll get you in the hands of someone who can talk to you about that more and give you a better feel for that. But big picture, as I said earlier, whether it's PFAS, whether it's nitrates, whether it's phosphorus, whether it's point source pollution or non-point source pollution, I think every single one of us in this state should be more engaged and more concerned about our water quality. It takes all of us, and it's so important. And as you know, and I think all of our listeners know, folks should expect to have clean water, and we can't take it for granted. It's so important to our health, it's important to our economic development, and it's important to future generations. So appreciate your concern, and we need to all pull together on this.
And Perry in Oconto has, I think, perhaps a related comment. Let's go there. Perry, hi.
Yes. Being in Oconto here, right on the Bay of Green Bay, earlier this year, probably around January or so, there was a report out that there was PFAS actually found in the fish. And it seemed to me, if I remember correctly, that there was no fish that was excluded, anywhere from smelt to perch to walleye. And I haven't heard much else about that, but from what I understood, it said that eating one meal of fish is like drinking PFAS water for a month. And does it affect the other inland lakes in Wisconsin? Because I don't see anybody worrying about eating this PFAS fish in Green Bay anyway.
Yeah, that's a good question. And the answer is it depends. It depends on the body of water, but you're correct. Studies have shown not only in the state of Wisconsin, but nationally, globally, that PFAS is just about everywhere. And it's sad, but it's getting into fish. And as we learn this, we have a responsibility to inform people so they can make educated decisions. So even here in Madison on Lake Monona, we now have fish consumption advisory signs up, and frankly, it breaks my heart to see that we're now having to put signs up to make sure people are aware that eating too many fish could be dangerous to their health. But yes, it is in fish. It depends on the body of water, and to the extent it can be all species of fish, again, depending on the area. And fortunately, it's not that extensive where I think folks need to be concerned that, oh my goodness, I can't go out fishing and I can't eat the fish. Go out fishing, enjoy that time with your family, and yes, you can eat the fish. But if you see signs up, it may say, well, you should only have one meal of walleye a week or a month. And if you think about that, how often do people eat fish? You know, some perhaps quite frequently, but others maybe not so. So just be mindful of that. And the bottom line is we need to pull together and we need to slow this down and ultimately put it to an end because our water's too important.
Perry, thanks again. Gary in Ripon, your turn. Hi, Gary.
Yes, in the run-up to this show, you asked for what you thought was the most important environmental problem. I think our biggest environmental problem is our belief in freedom.
Oh, and I think what Gary's getting at here is if we believe in freedom, I have the freedom to do whatever I want with whatever property I have.
Yeah, yeah. And I certainly believe in freedom, too, individual rights, property rights. The DNR works within laws that are passed by the legislature and signed by the governor, so I hear you loud and clear. But I also believe in personal responsibility and people pulling together to problem solve, to collaborate, to problem solve. And when it comes to taking care of our water, whether it's the waste that we produce as society, the water we rely on for life, just taking care of our environment, it takes all of us to take some responsibility and work together to accomplish that.
I want to switch our topic area a little bit and talk about wolves for a minute. Pretty much any time I bring up the word wolf, we get lots of comments. And I know it was last fall, that was before you were appointed, even the DNR released a draft wolf management plan. It did not include a statewide population goal. Where are we on that changes that you see? I think the management plan, the draft, actually was similar in many respects to the bear management plan that we have.
Yeah, we don't have a goal for bear either, and I've talked to a Bear Hunters Association and the leadership, and they've said to me our bear management plan is one of the best plans in the country. So I think there's a lot of pride in that because of the stakeholder involvement and the excellent work of our staff at the DNR. So we have, you know, a bear management plan. We have an elk management plan. Certainly, we have a very healthy deer population in the state and a lot of stakeholder involvement with that. And now we're looking to prepare and finalize a wolf management plan. And I've read the plan cover to cover. I know it's going to be one of the more controversial plans that the Natural Resources Board ultimately needs to act on and approve. But again, I'm so appreciative of our staff that have been involved with drafting it. It's well written, but it's rather technical. You know, it's 150, 160 mm-hmm. pages, so yeah. A lot of content there. But even as important as the drafting and the science that's gone into it is we've gotten a lot of feedback. We've had over 3,500 comments come our way, a lot of feedback about the plan. And just earlier this week, I received a briefing on it, and we're going to make some changes. I mean, I've yet to see a plan that couldn't be further improved, particularly after you receive over 3,000 comments. So we're going to do some things to make it a little simpler and a little more understandable, an executive summary up front so it's clear to people what the specific goals and objectives are. And, of course, we're going to make some refinements based on the feedback we heard. And you know, to me, I see the wolf population. It's very healthy right now, and it's grown extensively.
I think we got about 1,000 wolves.
There's about 1,000 wolves in the state. So when you look at the wolf reintroduction of the state of Wisconsin, it is a tremendous success story. Polling has shown, and most people I've talked to, I mean, it's pretty cool to see a wolf or a bear in the wild. You know, it doesn't happen every day. There's a lot of support for wolves and predators like that. However, they need to be managed, just like our bear population needs to be managed. And there's a biological biological caring capacity, and then there's a social caring capacity.
Yeah.
So bottom line is we're in the midst of updating and refining the plan. That work's going to continue throughout the summer. And then by the end of the summer, our plan is to share the updates and refinements we've made and then ultimately get that in front of our Natural Resources Board for final approval this fall.
And the flexibility, is there flexibility built into the plan that, and I guess what I'm thinking is if changes come, is the plan flexible enough to react or respond to perhaps what is now an unforeseen event or change?
Yeah, plans certainly aren't cast in concrete, right? And you have to be able to respond to the situation or what's unfolding in front of you. So certainly plans can be revisited, adjusted, just as we have quotas for deer harvest and bear harvest adjusted, revisited, checked. Right now, I mean, wolves are listed, so we cannot have a hunt here by federal law. The Wisconsin DNR cannot say, oh, we're going to just have a hunt. It's a federal decision. However, if the wolves are once again delisted, which I anticipate they will be, I think that's going to happen, we need to be prepared. As a state, we need to be prepared that if and when the federal government delists the wolves and a hunt can legally occur, we need to be prepared to have a thoughtful plan in place to proceed. And that's what we're working on.
I wanted to, before we go back to the phones, I did want to comment on our parks, too. Our state parks, I've enjoyed spending time in many of our state parks. I think the most fun I have had over the years is with my daughter at Peninsula. Not only enjoying the park, but the golf course, too, which is part of the park. What's your plan in support of state parks?
Oh, I am so proud of our state park system and our staff involved. And just meeting, you know, it's Public Service Week, and the governor put out a nice message to all state employees, thanking them for their service. And I am such an advocate and have so much respect for people in public service, you know, whether you're law enforcement officers, conservation wardens, folks working at the DNR, all of our agencies, a shout out to them. And I was meeting with about, I don't know, 300-400 of our staff over the last day and a half, just one-on-one, getting a quick chance to meet people. And one of them, it was supporting our parks and working with over 6,000 volunteers at our state park system and 64 different friends of state parks. There is so much support in our state for our state parks. And we have, again, 50 state parks for people to go to across the country. Across the world, people like to come to Wisconsin to visit our state parks. So it's a tremendous asset. It's an economic driver. It's good for our mental health, whether you're a resident or a non-resident, and it's great to engage your kids. We did so much camping with our kids when they were young at state parks and haven't done that as much of late. But my concern about the state park system is we have this tremendous asset in the state of Wisconsin, and it's such a tremendous draw. It's so important for tourism and all the things I just said, but we're falling a little behind in maintaining them and caring for them. In state parks, you have bathroom facilities, you have bridges, you have walkways, you need staff to, you know, clean up after people, pick up the garbage, all the things that go along with supporting a state park system. And the good news is we charge fees where we have a means of paying for it. We don't use general purpose revenue to much degree in this state to support our parks. We pretty much support them through fees. However, we need more ability to invest in maintenance and infrastructure improvements to take care of them. And we also, Larry, we hire hundreds of LTEs every summer, seasonally, to support our state park services. But we're only paying them like $12 to $15 an hour. That's the only that's the range we have. And as you know, it's tough to find anybody for $12 to $15 an hour to clean up after people, clean bathrooms and facilities. So thankfully, the governor has proposed some improvements for our state park system, whether it's supporting LTE pay or better maintenance, capital improvements, and I'm very appreciative that the legislature is seriously considering these alternatives and these proposals. So I'm encouraged.
I'll tell one on myself. I went last year for the first state park visit of the year. I was at Peninsula, And I get a license every year, a DNR hunting license that covers everything. And so I get the automatically get the state park sticker, and I forgot to put it on. And I got a ticket.
Uh-oh. Well, if you had that, you should have been able to show that somebody.
I showed my Go Wild card, but I paid anyway because I felt, well, you're that stupid.
You made a contribution. Yeah, well, it was a good one.
I made a contribution. Mike and Madison, thanks for calling.
Good afternoon. I love the state parks. That's half the reason I live in this state. I love them. On your topic of wolves, just to throw some quotes out, some numbers. I looked this up recently because I needed to know. And of the almost 6 million humans in this state, we also have approximately, according to the Dairy Association, 3.4 million dairy cows, an estimated 30,000 bear, and our target goal of 300 wolves in the state. Those numbers just don't seem to line
match up, for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The number is going away.
Yeah, the target of 300 or 350 is not a DNR target or a state target. Back in the day, years ago, when wolves were reintroduced, there were some goals on trying to increase that number, and at one point, 350 was mentioned in a plan. But ultimately, what you want is you want a population that can be healthy and sustainable based on the biological carrying capacity. So we far exceeded 350. There are some folks, certainly, that would like to see it be reduced, and I respect those points of view. But at the end of the day, what can we safely have in this state? What's a sustainable, healthy population? But then also we need to be mindful of social conflict. And if we do have areas in the state, which we do, where there's social conflict, that's why you need a management plan to be able to address that.
And here we got our last minute. I'm asking you a huge question. It has to do with CWD. What's our long-range plan for that?
Yeah, it would have been nice to end on a more positive topic, Larry. CWD is sadly, it continues to spread across the state. You know, more and more deer have CWD. It's not happening just in the state of Wisconsin. It's happening across the country. And we yet to have there's no magic pill here. There's no one answer to addressing CWD. So the state has done a number of things. The DNR has worked with our hunters and local units of government to put in baiting and feeding bans, to have surveillance done, do more testing, put dumpsters out so after people harvest a deer, they can safely take that carcass to a dumpster and have it disposed of rather than throwing it in the backwoods, because these prions can get in the soil, get into the food source, and more deer can pick them up. So we do have plans in place and a number of options to slow the spread. But my fear is that that's what we're predominantly striving to do, to slow the spread. I don't think we're going to end CWD anytime soon, though I hope, like so many things, that ultimately through additional research, additional science, ultimately we may come up for some cure for this. But it's something that we all, again, need to pull together on and be part of the solution. And getting your deer tested and sharing that data is helpful.
On that note, I'm sorry I couldn't have made it a more positive note for you, Secretary Payne, but I really appreciate your time. I hope you can come back and be with us again down the road.
I would welcome talking to you anytime, Larry. Thank you.
Adam Payne, Secretary of our Wisconsin DNRs. Great to have him stop by, and we'll get him back down the road, and we'll talk some more with him. Thank you so much for listening to the Ideas Network. Tomorrow on the show, John Freiberger is back to talk about fixing up your old house. Stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller.